Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, and it's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast. It is the son of a darkened shearer and a man with very small hands. We're all happy. Our team's all won.
Yes,
and
they did.
We're already into round 10, Quarters.
You don't know what round you're out of. You don't know what round you're in. It's crazy, crazy times. But you're right. We both had a win. Our teams had a win. And
went to the game, I
went to the game on Friday with the boys. And the look on their faces 20 minutes into the first quarter was just horror. And I must admit, I was looking at them saying, sorry, boys, it might not be a good night. But there was a bit of a turn of events. And it was priceless, the look on their faces at halftime. So when we had come back. So, yeah, look, it was a game played in good spirit and, nice to have a win, Duff, as you discovered yourself.
So the Hawks, of course, 31 points down to 31-point winners. West Coast big winners over Geelong in an absolute cracker of a game on Saturday night. And Fremantle, fantastic gutsy win over Collingwood on Sunday afternoon.
It was.
What was your standout from round nine?
I would say the game itself on Saturday, West Coast Geelong. I think Brisbane continues to impress. Round nine was last night's game. Round nine.
Last night's game was the start of round 10.
Okay, can I include that because we must talk about last night's game. Look, I think for me it was pleasing to see Freo like Frank. Something because the effort's been there, and I think you need a win every now and then just to frank your effort, and that will give them confidence and enthusiasm to just keep working hard. I was really pleased for Justin Longmuir and the Dockers for that win. I really was. So that was probably the highlight in terms of team victories. But I think there are a couple of performances there that really stood out, and Brisbane was one of them.
Brisbane was strong, liked their form. Really concerned about Melbourne.
Well, we're going to find
Simon Goodwin
out.
Is going to rename himself Simon Bad Loss.
Well, that's very good. I like that. Let me just say, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because we'll have to have some predictions soon, but Adelaide v Melbourne on Wednesday night.
Yes.
Tomorrow night. Boy, oh boy, as BT would say, has got something riding on it that game.
Yeah,
if they lose to Adelaide, you think the spotlight's on you now.
Yeah, I didn't like the president coming out and saying what he said. I think it's a good way to ingratiate yourself with your supporters. It's a bad way to not ingratiate yourself with your football department.
You know, Duff, I'm not sure if they didn't deserve it.
Oh, they were terrible.
And they have been will the real Melbourne please stand up? Maybe that was more like the real Melbourne. I mean, I want to see them get up and have a go. I mean, we see them. It's just too inconsistent, Melbourne, and this has been happening for too long. And so if I was a Melbourne supporter, to be quite honest, I wouldn't have minded those comments.
I worry that they came off a short break. You could see 5 minutes into the game they had no energy. They had no run. And Darren Burgess, who's their fitness guru, is a footballers can do more trainer because he's worked with the EPL and he's trained EPL teams and they play a lot.
Yep.
You know, they play two or three games a week. Soccer is a different game to footy. And I just worry that when I saw him 5 minutes in, I thought, I reckon they haven't recovered well and they haven't recovered properly.
Well, Port had a 4-day turnaround.
No, I know, but it's how you handle it, isn't it?
Yeah. Handle it better.
Well, maybe they did too much. Because they were as flat as pancakes.
Look, in their defence, we don't know what's right, we don't know what's wrong in this season. But clearly Port got it right last night. So yeah. We are sort of treading a bit blindly through this.
Yes.
But
who did you tip, by the way, in the Port Adelaide Bulldogs game?
I tipped the Dogs.
So you were on the bandwagon?
And I'm still, look, I still have faith in them, but it's, look, if they had a kick straight, they would have been 4-5 up at half time and they were going to, they would have won that game because it was a third quarter blowout. They had so many inside 50s in the first half and weren't able to capitalise. Port did capitalise in the third quarter. I guess it was a tale of forward lines that were functioning, and Port's forward line in that third quarter functioned really well. Western Bulldogs just didn't get it right. So that was the difference in the game. They outscored them in the last quarter, I'm pretty sure. And so, you know, it was they were a bit like Liechtenstein, Duff, the Western Bulldogs. They're right in there in the middle of the big boys, but they just not sure if they belong.
And what about the set play of 2020? When the game went on the line in the West Coast, Geelong game, Nick Nat and to Josh Kennedy.
Yes, pre-planned as well. Great to watch. Great execution. Geez, Josh Kennedy's playing well at the moment, isn't he?
He is. Yep.
He is. Glad I called him. Called for him to retire last year.
He's got that article. He's got that article pinned somewhere on a wall.
Well, good. Good.
And your face is on his dartboard.
Oh, good. Good.
Somewhere near the bullseye.
I meant it in it was all in good faith, though, trust me. It was a beautiful set play. It was a great performance. A great game, I should say. Great game. Almost felt a bit sorry for Geelong in the end, really, because they left everything out there.
Okay, let's talk about the news of the weekend, the hub breaches.
Well,
so we had the Richmond, North Melbourne, I think there was a Hawthorn breach as well.
Yes. The North breach was a bit more forgivable. The Hawthorn breach, don't know what was going on. They were non-players. They weren't playing. They were reserves, if you like, and they left a corporate area to go and find some food.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, A-grade dumb. The Richmond breach, I got a bit angry about that, Duff, to be honest.
Yeah.
You go to a spa, you're up there to support your family. I don't want to be, you know, bashing the Wags here, mate, but you're up there to support your family. It's not a holiday.
Yeah.
This is coming out of the AFL coffers.
Yeah.
And you're up there and you're looking for a free spa. It got me a bit angry.
Yep.
It really did. I tell you what, I got a bit angry too when Mitch Cleary was stood down, although it was only for 24 hours. I'm talking about the AFL.com.au writer who actually revealed the name of Brooke Cotchin.
Geez, they had to spin their way out of that, the AFL.
Well, is it an independent website or it's not? Clearly it's not.
Well, of course it's not.
Yeah.
But did we ever think it was?
Probably not, but now we know.
No.
But look, Mitch. But
I think that act, it really, they should have gave Mitch a phone call and said, mate, take that down. Our policy is that.
That's right. I'm not sure he was that aware of it at the time. Yeah, it was a bit stiff on him. Anyway, he's kept his job. He's a good writer. So
he's a very good writer,
Mitch. We're pleased about that. I didn't like the action.
About Buckley?
Well,
and
I'll tell you what I did like is Titus O'Reilly's tweet. It was absolutely brilliant. Nathan, I don't know what's wrong, Nathan, just had a few drinks, fell asleep on the couch, walked out the wrong door and into a game of tennis. That's all right. Well, clearly they weren't aware of that. I know, and
when they became aware of it, they self-reported.
So, you know, I mean, unfortunately, the same day Eddie's called for anyone who's breaching these hub protocols to be sent home. So it was an unfortunate series of events. There were people calling for Nathan Buckley to be sent home. Ridiculous calls. Of course, he shouldn't be sent home. He's done it inadvertently. As soon as he was aware of his error, I'm not saying it was right, but no. He's copped the fine. He's fallen on his sword. I think we need to be better. The AFL needs to be better at informing them of what the rules are. I mean, these are transient, fluid times, and I'm not sure if there are so many protocols stuff around this. I'm not sure whether they know aware of them all.
Even when the general community was in semi lockdown during the shutdown, often you would do things and you would think, am I allowed to do this? You know, is this too much? You know, am I too far away from home? Am I too long away from home? You'd be asking yourself all these questions and the answers weren't clear. And the AFL protocols are a lot tougher than government protocols.
Yep.
So basically the AFL knows that they are at the mercy of state governments to keep this season going. And if state governments suddenly bar any movement between borders, then the AFL is stuffed. you know, it can't continue to play. So they are going above and beyond to try and keep the season going. And that means that, you know, these people are leading very constricted lifestyles. And I think we do need to bear that in mind.
Yeah, we do. And but when you have partners going to join them in the hub, fully aware of what the restrictions are, and then you just breach them, it made me very angry.
Well, clearly though, they weren't fully aware, were they? So, and this is the problem. I think they need to be better educated. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do, and we're taking what you can and can't do very, very seriously.
And it is policy on the run too. I guess the protocols are changing all the time. So
yeah,
it's a difficult one. Look, I think overall, Duff, we've done a pretty good job so far, or the AFL clubs have done a pretty good job. Although I hasten to add that for the breaches that we know about, there are plenty that we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're human beings. We all suffer from the human condition, and so there will be people slipping up. Speaking of people slipping up, Jake Carlisle.
Yes.
So is Dane Rampey's broken hand fair game?
If he's out in the field, it is.
Because he's playing?
If he's out in the field, it is fair game. If you're in the hands of a trainer, this goes back all those years to Nick Riewoldt and the Scots, and also a few years ago last year, Ben Stratton and Charlie Cameron.
Yeah, that was more pinching, wasn't it?
That was more pinching. But I think if you have I'm just trying to think, was it Liam Baker a few years ago and Cameron Ling? Anyway, it's happened regularly over the years where someone's got an injured hand and it's whack, whack, whack on the hand. Look, if you're in the hands of a trainer, you're absolutely off limits.
But St Kilda's Baker.
Yes.
And Stevie J.
That's right. It was Stevie J. Probably had every right to. Stevie J off his game. He's playing pretty well at the time. But if you were out there, I think you're fair game. Look, there's some instances where it's a bad look, where if it's just repeatedly whacking a bloke on his hand, but, you know, that's been going on for a long time. Doesn't make it right. Look, I don't think it's necessarily wrong. You're out there. It's a tough sport.
So he's been fined $500 in your eyes.
Is that a fine?
I would argue it is, and I half agree with you. Like, if a player has a sore shoulder, sore ribs, and he has the ball and you go to tackle him, naturally you're going to try and add a bit of GST and inflict a bit of pain. Mm-hmm. This wasn't in play, and I think it's a bad look when you're targeting a known injury and it's not in play. Mm. That would be my comment. So I half agree with you. Like, I think if you're out there, you are fair game, but you're fair game in general play, not to be picked on in a scuffle after a goal was being kicked.
No, if we're going to, we should extend that to centre square infringements with our midfield leaders being infringed upon behind the umpire's glare.
Yes,
there's a lot of that goes on as well. So you could extend it to that.
Holding the ball and the mess that has become.
Yeah, you know. At the game on Friday night at Optus, I don't think it was in particularly worse or better than any other game, but I just found it completely changed after half time.
Mm.
For the first half, it was going a certain way, and then it was going another way the second half. So there's inconsistencies not only across round from round or game from game, but inside one game.
Yep.
And I found that really hard to follow. If you were someone who didn't have an Aussie rules background, you came along to one of the games at the moment, you'd be very confused.
You would have no idea what is prior opportunity, holding the ball,
It is something they need to – it's going to be hard this year, I think, but, they need to work on it. They really do.
So our umpiring friend and colleague Craig O'Donoghue informs me that the Andrew McGrath decision, which is the one that caused the big stink in the Essendon game at the weekend, Essendon-Brisbane, that is technically correct. Now – if that is technically correct, the rule is wrong.
Yeah, bloke going for the ball, clearly.
Going for the ball.
Without much prior at all.
Wins
really.
The ball, stands up, is involved in a wrestle for the ball with another player and gets pinged for holding the ball because technically he has dived on the ball and not gotten it out.
Technically it's right, but I'm not sure if that was the intention of the rule when it was written. So they really need to look at that, I think. I'm just concerned that we're taking away one great element of our game, and that is the player going for the ball.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Luke Beveridge, before his game last night, said, I've stopped talking to the players about it.
Yeah.
Because it's pointless.
Yeah.
because I say one thing and the other happens. So I just don't know where it's at. So I've stopped talking to them about it and it's just pot luck.
Yeah.
But they'll still go for the ball. They're still instructed to go for the ball and just try and get it out as quickly
as possible. So do we have to go back? We know this shifted when Clarko spoke. Do we have to go back to the way it was before he spoke and just accept there'll be a lot of tackles laid and not many free kicks paid?
I think so. I think if you're going for the ball, I wouldn't mind Team Pryor. I don't mind Team Pryor, Duff. But I think I pay the blatant ones, but if it's tiggy touch, we'll just ball it up.
So one point that Craig O'Donoghue made to me, he went back and watched the 2013 preliminary final, which was the one when Fremantle played Sydney, and Fremantle's pressure was off the charts.
Yep.
And he said there were virtually no free kicks paid, but because Fremantle were causing spills and spills, he said it was a really exciting game.
Yeah.
It's like a Sydney player would grab the ball, be absolutely beset upon, the ball would spill. Another Sydney player would grab the ball, be beset upon, the ball would spill. And he said it was really exciting, really pulsating football. But he said they weren't paying holding the balls. Mm. Basically, just spills were being caused. And I would argue that Fremantle almost got to that level against Collingwood at times on Sunday night, where they were just so fierce at the Pies that they were causing spill after spill after spill after spill. Not a lot of free kicks being paid, but it was good to watch. It was good footy to watch. So it doesn't always have to be the, you know, the high skill, you know, ball movement game for it to be entertaining. It just has to be, it can't just be locked up in these packs and ball up after ball up after ball up. I think that's what we have to get away from. And I will throw you a variation on Team Pryor, and that is that, and we see this a lot, if a player has the ball and gets tackled and a teammate of the player with the ball comes in and becomes the third man into that scrimmage, that should be a holding the ball free kick.
Yeah, fair call.
Because the minute that third player comes in, they're not trying to get the ball out. They're trying to hold the ball in.
I would totally agree with that.
And I think that would take away some of these scrimmages.
There would be less congestion in the pack.
Yeah.
And I think it would give players much more clarity.
Yep.
And more importantly, supporters, fans.
Yep.
Because they don't know anything. They don't know what's going on. So it'd be less frustration too, which I think I like that idea.
Quarters, Caleb Sarong. He's had a pretty big week.
He has.
So he's played on Paddy Dangerfield on Monday night and beat him. And played on Taylor Adams on Sunday night, 6 days later, and beat him.
All indicators are people who saw him come up through the ranks is they're not surprised.
Yeah.
Jordan McArdle's article today, talking to his State 18s coach. So, no, there's no surprises there. He's certainly now in the mix for the Rising Star Award, and so he should be. One of the great positives that Fremantle will take out of this season, there'll be many. Another one of them is, I think, Tabana's performance the last few weeks. Love the look of Sarong. And for one so young to be getting his hands so dirty, really, really impressive.
So 9 clearances on the weekend. You know who he benefited from playing with on the weekend? David Mundy. The number of times that David Mundy's big body and clean hands was able to shoot the ball clear to Caleb Sarong. Really smart positioning by Sarong, putting himself in David Mundy's eye line. But I suspect that probably a few of his clearances were as much David Mundy's first possession as
so
his
Mundy
clearance.
And Sarong in that situation, allowing Fife to float forward a bit more, which is something that we like.
Yep.
Good signs for Freo.
And good coaching by Justin Longmuir. Of course, the Pies, interesting punt they took. They dropped Jordan Ruffhead and they played Mark Keane, who's a young Irishman, very inexperienced. Justin shifting Fife forward meant Darcy Moore really had to be near Fife. And that meant Mark Keane was left one out on Tabana.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Could have done with Ruffhead.
And
roll the dice. I mean, they are decimated, Collingwood. We will point that out. But so are Freo, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got no back line.
Yeah, both teams.
I think it's pretty well evens itself out. If anything, I think Collingwood are probably in front.
Who is the biggest loss for Collingwood? Obviously, Scott Pendlebury didn't play in their midfield. Jordan DeGoey didn't play in their forward line. Jeremy Howe didn't play in their defence.
They're three big ones.
Which of those is the biggest loss?
What has changed? I think probably DeGoey. And I say that with gritted teeth because
Pendlebury's a champion.
I'm such a big rat for Pendlebury. He just does not get tackled.
Yeah.
He's just too good. He's just time and space. Howe was just probably the best defender in the comp when he went down. Clearly that's affected them. But I think Tagoe, he's one of those few players in the competition, Martin's one, Toby Green's another, that can change the dynamic of the game, just that one person, more than any other. So I think probably Tagoe, if you look at the overall, I think Tagoe is the one who's affected them the most.
And these are almost the new X-factor forwards, aren't they, these forward mids. So Dusty Martin, Jordan Tagoe, Christian Petrarca, Paddy Dangerfield. We hope that Fremantle will get to that point with Nathan Fyfe eventually, and they probably already are at that point with Michael Walters, who's a two-goal-a-game player. These players are almost as critical to your scoring as the old-style power forward.
Well, they are now.
Yeah.
Well, they are now. Have a look at the Rising Stars too, by the way. Oh, sorry, like Rising Stars, the leading goal kickers. Papley and Cameron are two different sorts of players, but they're sec two and three.
Butler's there somewhere.
Butler's equal fourth.
Yep.
So
Josh Kennedy's almost the lone statesman for the old power forward.
Charlie Dixon and Josh Kennedy are flying the flag, the two of them. Played all right last night, Charlie, again, too, when it counted.
Rising star nomination from round nine, Mitch Georgiades.
Yeah, loved his game last week. It was just for one so young again, just to be taking contested marks like that, floating, that beautiful floater across the pack. Loved it. He's a real get, that kid. And we say it, did he slip under the guard? Well, he was injured for a year, so it's a hard one. But
it's probably significant that Jared Schofield was the Subiaco coach a year or so ago, and Georgiades is a Subi boy. So Schofield's going to have more knowledge. He's at Port Adelaide now. He's going to have more knowledge of where Georgiades was at, what the injury was, what the implications of the injury was, and what the kid's upside.
You know the other thing Schofield brought in when he got to Port? He said, the players I had at Subi were fitter than you.
Yeah.
So he's got them fitter.
Yep.
And they're on top of the ladder. So there you go.
The other thing that good coaching by Kenny Hinckley, they actually, in their previous game when they got nutted, they actually, all roads led to Charlie Dixon and they were easily to defend. They shifted Charlie further away from goal and slid Georgiades in behind him. That was a clever piece of
coaching. Last night too, when the game was right in the balance in the third quarter when Port ran over the top of the Dogs, Charlie Dixon was able to get further up the ground, took a couple of really, really telling contested marks. Just when the Dogs were starting to just come back at them a little bit, it was nuts. Just got those big hands around it. No one was getting near him. A couple of hands in the don't argues as well that you're not going to argue with Charlie, are you?
So quarters, we are into round 10.
Are we?
We are. Our teams have buys in round 10, but they still play
this week
on Sunday and Monday. So I think West Coast play Carlton on Sunday. Fremantle play Hawthorn on Monday. So
big game tonight, Duff.
Richmond, Brisbane.
Massive game tonight.
Is this going to be a premiership market shaper, do you think?
I think it probably is. Richmond, as I keep saying, are still – I'd be very wary of Richmond. They've got a lot of players out and they're around the mark. It's not going to take much for them to nudge forward and be the number one contender, in my opinion. But right now, Brisbane really compelling. They do have the luxury of being based at home still, but just – playing really with a hell of a lot of confidence. How good's Lachie Neale been?
Oh,
how far ahead is he in the Brownlow?
He's different level.
Have you had a look at the coaches' votes tally? He's about 21 ahead.
Yeah, no, he's different level at the moment.
He is, isn't he?
He's just racking up best on grounds, like they're going out of fashion. I have to put him in my Magnificent Seven column every week.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I can't put him in again, and I have to put him in again.
Well, you can put him in as often as you like, Duff, if he demands attention.
33 disposals on the weekend. Absolutely magnificent performance. He's so clean.
Clean in heavy traffic.
Yeah, he's so clean now. And you know what? I reckon his running as well has gone to a different level. Like he was always an okay runner, never a great runner. But I reckon he's covering the ground better than he ever did. So last year when he went to Brisbane last year after playing for Fremantle and people said, oh, he's a much better player. And I think that stuff was overblown last year. But he did win two best and fairest in 3 years at Fremantle. He was playing in a team where there was a Brownlow medalist running around. So he was a pretty good player. But he is definitely a better player this year.
Definitely.
Yeah, no question.
He's in rare form.
Where do you have the Saints? Are you – well, let me go first. Where do you have Port? Are you a believer yet?
I'm a doubter.
Yeah, I am too. It's just the back half for me is where it could come unstuck. But the mounting a pretty strong argument.
So I've got my contenders in three groups, if you like. So there's Richmond and West Coast, proven.
Yes.
Then there's St Kilda, Brisbane. Brisbane's at the head of this pack.
I've got Brisbane ahead of St Kilda.
Brisbane, Port Adelaide, St Kilda are exciting and possible, but we're still finding out about them.
We are.
I worry about Brisbane's tall forwards. I worry about Port's tall defenders. Yes. And St Kilda are just so fresh. You know, we're still working out what they can and can't do, yes. I think. And then I've got teams like Collingwood and GWS, I still think have the capability.
Geelong?
Well, on the weekend's form, yes. Mm. I mean, Geelong lost nothing.
You've got to give them some credit.
The only thing they didn't take out of that game was the 4 points.
Agree.
You know, 5 day break, no Selwood, no Ablett, no recognised ruckman. And let's face it, by the end of the day, Nat Nui could have hit his midfielders hanging upside down from a chandelier. He was flat out doing party tricks in the ruck. So that really hurt them in that game. But they trouble West Coast with their style of play, I reckon. They beat him in the final last year. They almost beat them in 2018 at Optus Stadium when they basically just ran out of fit players.
Yeah.
So there's something that Geelong does that is a handful for West Coast to handle.
And then at the back of the queue, we've probably got the Western Bulldogs, who I rated pre-season. I still like.
Are you on the bandwagon still?
No, I'm not off it. They just need to. They need to do a bit more.
Are you hanging out the door with your suitcase?
My major concern is no, I'm not hanging out the door with my suitcase. My major concern, their best and their worst, is a big gulf. Last night was a lot better.
Yeah.
Just sometimes I think when it gets really hard, there's a little bit of a soft underbelly there, and that concerns me.
They would be better with Aaron Norton.
Absolutely.
You know, just
how far is Aaron Norton away?
I don't know. It was a significant injury,
yeah,
obviously.
So he's a while.
I think he must be close now, but he's been gone a while.
Yeah. Josh Bruce I think he kicked 7 about 4 weeks ago and has really done nothing since.
Yeah, well, that's Josh Bruce, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it is. And it has been throughout his career.
Yep.
So, you know, last night was frustrating to watch him. And that forward line, it just really lacked that focal point, and the Smalls just didn't really get to work last night. Mm. And wasted opportunities early, as I said, but there was a clear difference. And when Port got to work, their forward line just was just operating like a Swiss watch.
Okay, so let's tip. And we've got a few to tip before our next show on Thursday. Richmond versus Brisbane, are you on the Tigers or are you on the Lions?
I'm going to get on the Lions tonight. I just think that they're playing with enough confidence and form to hold off the Tigers, but gee, it's caveat emptor. It's just tipping against Richmond. It really is. Very hard to tip at the moment because you don't really have the time or the information at your disposal in terms of injuries, in terms of form lines. There is really no form lines. That's the problem at the moment. So I just think Brisbane, for me, at the moment, deserve favourites. It's about $1.90, by the way, each way. So they're very, very evenly backed.
I'm going to go with the Tigers here. I think Grant Birchall's been managed. He's not playing. I think that's a big out. He's a great organiser of their back line. And I did like Richmond over the last couple of weeks. They get Nick Vlostone back. He's a big in for them, of course, real staple in their defence. I love Bolter's development. Grimes, still a great player. And like we do talk about what they've got out, but let's not forget Revolt is there, Martin is there, Lynch is there, Grimes is there, Cochin is there. There's a lot of quality in this team still.
Well, when you've won 2 flags in the last 3 years, there's going to be some quality in that squad.
Yeah. So we're split on that one. You're the Lions, I'm the Tigers.
I think we were split on last night too. You got the chocolates and I didn't.
I did.
I think I was the only, might have been one or two of us in the paper that tipped the Dogs. But anyway, those are the breaks. So Wednesday night, tomorrow night, Geelong v North Melbourne at the Gabba. Can't mount a case for North Melbourne here. I'll be picking Geelong. Although, I mean, a 69-point win over Adelaide, I don't know what to make of that. Adelaide are just easy pickings at the moment. A little bit to like about North, but yeah, I think Geelong's done enough. They are travelling. That will be interesting. They've played a lot of footy.
Yeah,
so the legs might be an issue there. If North wins, I suspect that's what it will be, but I'm picking Geelong.
Yeah, so I think that's the only thing that gives North an in this game, the fact that Geelong's legs, I'm suspecting they will do nothing but recovery between Saturday night and this game. Interestingly, I think they may get Joel Selwood back for this game. They may also play Jack Stephen. He looks like he's looming pretty close to a game. And North Melbourne, one of the great stories of round nine.
Oh, wasn't it?
Mad Jack Dore.
Wasn't it?
So 700 days on from his last game.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know that the fall off the Balti Bridge.
Yes.
The mental health issues. The serious physical injuries from that fall. Serious pelvis and hip injuries. For him to get back and play, he's now a father. And his eyes just lit up when he talked about his daughter after the game, when he was interviewed after the game.
There's a bit of Jason McCartney about the goal
at
the weekend.
Yeah.
Remember Jason McCartney playing that one game back with the bodysuit after the Bali bombings? And I loved it. I loved the selection. I was watching the game. I kept my eyes, I was working, but my eyes kept straying to the screen whenever Mad Jack had it because I just wanted him to kick a goal so badly. And when he did, I loved that he was swamped. And just goes to show you what is available to people these days in terms of mental health help and also how good footy clubs can be in the rehabilitation process. So if you're out there listening, great example of how things can be turned around.
Exactly. If you're struggling, talk to people, get help, and you'll be amazed what can be achieved over time.
Wednesday, the other game, the later game tomorrow night is Adelaide v Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. And all I'll say here, Duff, is boy, oh boy, if you think the spotlight's on Melbourne right now, lose to Adelaide, then you'll see a spotlight.
Jeez, there was a goal that North Melbourne kicked against the Crows on the weekend, which I
know that you're talking about. Three touches.
So Luke McDonald takes the ball, hits Aaron Hall on the back of the square. Matt Crouch gives a pretty ordinary effort at stopping him from playing on because Hall is quicker than Crouch. He plays on and runs away from him. He kicks to Cam Zerha just forward of centre. Cam Zerha runs to 50 and kicks the goal.
Well, they look like a team where the end of 2020 cannot come soon enough for Adelaide.
Yeah, they're really at the bottom.
It's a hopeless situation, Duff. So they really have to clearly look at the list. They have to rebuild, and it's going to take some time.
Mm.
So I guess all you can do is play as many kids as you can and hope to get something out of the season from that. I feel really, really feel for Matthew Nicks. I really do. There's no more poison chalice that he has accepted in this job. Good on him for accepting it. It is a senior coaching position at AFL level, so of course you're going to. I really hope he can turn it around. I'd love to see him turn it around, but it's going to be a long job, and I hope they give him the time to do so.
I think, well, clearly he needs another year.
Oh, more than that.
And a year after that.
Well, you know my thoughts on this year anyway. There should be no coach moved on in this year. It would be ridiculous to move a coach on this year.
That brings us to the other coach in this game.
Yeah, you can't move a coach on this year. But I think if Melbourne struggle again this year, don't make the eight, peter out to nothing, I think he's under enormous pressure next year, Simon Goodwin.
Yeah.
Clearly it's a list that is better than it is delivering, better than it is producing. Like, you look at the best and worst of the Western Bulldogs and it's fixable. You look at the best and worst of Melbourne, I'm just not sure it is right now.
Mm.
That's what worries me most about Melbourne.
There is a sameness about their midfield that concerns me. And a few people are now even asking the question, does one of Clayton Oliver and Angus Brayshaw, do one of those have to go? Now, and would probably be Brayshaw.
Would have to be at the moment. He's not playing well, whereas Oliver is getting his hands on the footy at the very least and still playing pretty reasonable footy. And this is a year we're saying where Petraka has finally realised his potential. He's had a great year and they're still coughing up really, really below par performances. So
Brayshaw looks like a player to me who's he's almost lost his place in that system and he doesn't know – what to do to become a good player again.
He clearly can. We know he's got the ability. He
finished third in the Brownlow
in
medal.
His first year, was it?
2018. He was third in the Brownlow medal.
So we know he can play. We know. I have absolutely no doubt he's going to return. He's going to be a long-term AFL player, and he's going to be a very good one at that. But right now, you're right. He just looks lost, and that can happen.
Mm.
So what you worry about the Melbourne system if that's the case.
Is this going to be Adelaide's first win, Quarters?
I'm not going to pick them. I can't, Duff. I cannot pick Adelaide this year, or certainly not at the moment. So yeah. I'm going for Melbourne. I'm going for a spotlight on, backs to the wall. They've got the ability to win this. Yes. I just don't think Adelaide have.
If Melbourne bring effort, Melbourne wins this game.
I think so.
Yeah.
So how can they not bring effort?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Given the circumstances at the moment, they really need to address the dominance Max Gawn's having, and they're getting nothing from it.
Yep.
It's been happening all year. It's happening for too long. They need to address that. Why they haven't addressed it before now, I don't know, but it needs to be done. I'd be very frustrated to be a Melbourne supporter.
All right. It's time for everybody's favourite segment. It is time for Josh's mailbag.
Hello, Newman.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Go ahead.
Oh, hello, Newman. I watched that episode last night, Josh.
Serendipitous, then.
Well, I'm doing a bit of homework. I've got the crazy Joe Davola's. We've got our defending our undefeated title on Wednesday night at the Rosemount Hotel, the Seinfeld Trivia Challenge. So we haven't lost yet. We're undefeated.
Duff, what do you make of this? You know how you go to a quiz night and there's always that one table who don't really drop a point, and they obviously go on the tour of Perth.
Yes.
Duff does that with his mates and knocks Quarters. Off every Quarters, sorry, yeah. Quarters with his mates and knocks off every single Seinfeld quiz night in Perth.
Well, you know who the captain of our team is? The great Rick Arden.
Rick Arden.
That's right.
He's pretty good on Seinfeld, I can tell you. He knows his stuff. Well, I thought I knew my stuff until I sat down at that table. I tell you, I don't know much. Those guys. Incredible stuff anyway. Rosemount Hotel Wednesday night. Bring it on.
Might have some challenges rocking up. All right, well, let's get straight into it. We touched on Angus Brayshaw just then. Dino from Tassie says, g'day, Mark, Glenn and Josh.
G'day, Dino.
Dean from Tassie here again. Just wondering whether or not you think Freo should target Angus Brayshaw, potentially bring the third Brayshaw brother to WA.
That's a great call.
Yeah, it is a good
Why
call.
Why not?
Yeah, I think I would not be at all surprised if he's on the market come the end of the season.
Mm.
You probably have to weigh up very carefully how he fits into the Fremantle midfield mix, but more midfielders at Fremantle means – more Nathan Fyfe and Michael Walters forward.
I think he absolutely fits in, and I love the idea.
And that means more Nathan Fyfe and Michael Walters forward can only be a good thing for Fremantle.
Very good email, Dino. Hope you're going well down there in Tassie. We love Tassie.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dino. Brennan Smith here, another international mailing in. Born and raised in Geraldton, lived half my life in Perth. I've been living in San Diego for last year and
great
before
city.
Moving to Memphis, Tennessee for the previous 2 years. I've continued to listen to the podcast wherever I've been. Here's my question. Do you think West Coast should consider bringing Lewis Jetta back, but this time as a small forward to help cover for Willy Rioli?
At the moment, I can't see that they need him right now. I thought he would be back sooner. They're going okay, I think, Duff.
Yeah, no, I think Lewis's place, if he gets back into halfback. The team, is at halfback, and he's that ball user who opens up, you know, just nice the ball through opposition press defences. I think he's going to struggle to get back. I think Liam Duggan's an improved player. Jackson Nelson is an improved player. And Tom Cole is an improved player.
I think the opportunity for Lewis will be this is a compromise season where they're going to have to think about resting players.
Mm.
It's going to have to happen. So I think that's his opportunity. And, you know, with opportunity, it depends what you do with it.
Exactly.
Hopefully you're safe over there in the US, Brendan. Our next one is from Andrew from Leeming. This one's quite interesting. He's talking about how you guys said last week, Duff in particular, that Lachie Neale was the cleanest ball handling mid of that you've seen. Now he's interested to know your comparison with Maurice Rioli.
Maurice Rioli.
Oh.
There was a bloke who not only handled the ball cleanly, he did it three times as fast as everybody else.
He did. Look, I know you saw a lot of Morris. I saw him win a Norm Smith in the losing grand final in 1982,
yeah.
Carlton v Richmond. One of the greats and just one of those players you'd pay to go just to watch him use the footy. Oh, he was just an exquisite player.
Yeah.
Long may he rest in peace.
So the comparison, I would say it's a different game, and there were less bodies around the ball when Morris was playing. Morris was a magnificent ball handler, no doubt about that. But Lachie Neale is getting the ball with three or four big-sized opposition midfielders coming to kill him.
Yeah, there, basically. But as you said, it is a different game.
It's a different style of game. What I would say is that I would value both in my team.
Oh, yes. you'd find a spot for Morris Rioli, I can guarantee. Yeah. Morris is available, okay.
you'd be making a phone call to another player saying, I'm sorry, but this week he will not be playing.
No, he's a great, great footballer.
Great comparison there, Andrew. The final one's from Scott, and this is following up last week's question, which brought up the idea of bringing a potential AFL connection to the Southwest. He said, alternatively, could there be an incentive to bring a waffle side to Bunbury?
Well, I always thought that the West Australian Football Commission got it wrong with Peel, that if you're going to bring a team in from outside the Perth inner metro area, that Bunbury was the place. There's a very, very strong football culture in Bunbury.
Couldn't have both? Because I think Peel, the reason that Peel was brought in, it was a fast-growing population there. It really was. And that rightly so, they identified that. I wouldn't mind seeing both. A Bunbury and a Peel team.
I like the idea of a half-relocated Melbourne team playing out of Bunbury. And rather than having – people from time to time have talked about three teams in Western Australia. I'm saying 2.5. So St Kilda still retains a strong presence in Melbourne, but plays a significant number of – I'm saying St Kilda, but it could be North Melbourne, it could be Melbourne, it could be any of those teams that is becoming marginal.
Tell you what, the other thing we consider too is – In non-COVID times, there are direct flights now to Margaret River from the east.
That's right. Well, Busselton, isn't it?
Busselton. Melbourne to Busselton. So makes a lot of sense and easy to get to.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good weekend if you live in Melbourne. Just pop over to Busso down to the southwest.
Do a bit of quaffing.
Great weekend.
Do you reckon, let's say it's St Kilda. Actually, you'd probably be more inclined to have Melbourne for the quaffing, wouldn't you?
The bold reds of Margaret River.
Stop over at Manjimup for a truffle.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of truffle kerfuffle.
Oh, I could see that. Yep. I could see that. You'd be nowhere available in Eagle Bay, that's for sure.
That's right.
Thanks so much for the questions, guys. Really short and sharp this week.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll be talking about the Brisbane-Richmond game, the Geelong-North Melbourne game, and Adelaide v Melbourne. And we'll be tipping some more games from round 10. And, of course, we'll be leading into the games that our teams play, which are technically round 11, but they're on Sunday and Monday. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Remember, if you are a fan of the podcast, send us your thoughts. Do you have some big AFL ideas that just keep getting lost on your mates? Or has ISO allowed you to crack a big footy problem? Well, send us the topic you want two of Australia's most experienced and respected footy journalists to discuss. Send us your name, location and thoughts to me at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. Just make sure you chuck mailbag in the subject. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.